So the summer holidays are over, autumn is just around the corner, and people might be thinking about making meals for the darker evenings and also the cooler evenings as well. Does the library have a cookery section?
Yes, we have a huge cookery section. It's one of our most popular areas. Cookbooks from all over the world, all types of food, all types of cooking methods, you name it, we've probably got it here.
So do you have books from, say, the TV chefs like Gordon Ramsay, Jamie Oliver, even Delia Smith?
We've certainly still got Jamie Oliver and his latest book, Five Ingredients. Delia Smith, we've still got a few, and some Gordon Ramsay, but also books from Nadia, who won the Bake Off. Kirsty Allsop has just brought out a new recipe book. And, of course, one of our growing sections is on vegetarian and vegan food.
Which I know is a personal favourite of Madeline's, but also what I wondered was, what about the classic cookbooks, such as those written by Mrs. Beaton?
Of course, a lot of stuff that she talked about is not relevant about servants and things like that. But no, there is still a place, and you will still find a Mrs. Beaton recipe book in the library, yes.
Interesting fact about Mrs. Beaton, and I mean, everybody, I don't know, until I watched television recently and I'd heard this about Mrs. Beaton, I think most people have a perception or a vision of Mrs. Beaton as being a very old lady in a white pinny and a funny frilly hat. Well, yes, she was that, but she was in her mid to her late 20s when she died.
She
died in childbirth. So when you see Mrs. or think of Mrs. Beaton, you think of her as being a sort of a lovely, cosy, eiderdowny sort of old lady. Well, she wasn't. She was a young woman. And, you know, all this, you know, she wrote these books about what ordinary women, these recipes, how ordinary women would actually cook and their ordinary lives. And she was a pioneer in that. She was the first. And, of course, since then, you know, it's just taken off. But I think she's quite remarkable to have actually achieved and written all that in such a young life. So yeah, yes, you know, she was the pioneer of cooking books, really.
We sort of think that Mrs. Beaton wrote all those recipes, etc., from experience, but she must have got them from other people and other sources.
Yep.
As Tina said, she died so young, there's no way she could have built up that sort of repertoire herself. So she must have used contemporary sources, which, you know, makes it more interesting. But I think her husband was quite sort of dominant, wasn't he? And it, quite a push to get all this published. I think, again, it was money, wasn't it?
I guess with a lot of recipes, they're handed down through generations. Jeremy Corbyn, of course, has been in the news, and he's considering turning vegan. And Madeline, you did mention about vegetarian and vegan books. Have you many of these in store, though?
Yes, we have an increasing number of vegan ones, and a really interesting one actually from America, and it's called Thug Kitchen. And it's written by blokes about vegan cooking, but in a very sort of shouty way. Oh. If you can imagine a cookery book could be shouty. And it's called Thug Kitchen, and it sort of uses a few expletives and things along the way. But it's to sort of, I suppose, the male approach to, you know, you don't need meat to get all your protein and things like that. But it's a very interesting cookbook. But yeah, veganism and vegetarianism is definitely on the rise in this country, and we've got the cookery books that reflect that. My particular favourite one at the moment is The New Vegetarian by Alice Hart, and she does a lot in The Guardian as well. So yeah, really popular at the moment.
So my favourite food is a curry. I do like a good curry. And we talked about recipes being handed down through generations. And I've got a curry recipe from my dad. Have either of you got a favourite recipe?
My favourite recipe at the moment is an ontolenghi, a recipe, baked ourzu pasta with mozzarella and aubergines and lots of vegetables. And it's absolutely luscious. It's a family favourite at the moment as well. Yeah. So I recommend that one.
Bread and butter pudding with apricots, fresh apricots,
ooh,
brown sugar, loads of eggs, milk. Yeah, I do it with brioche. Make it with brioche. Brioche, it's better than ordinary stale bread. If you have brioche, it's lovely. It's a little bit more dense. It's a little more denser. But yeah, but you need to put some jam in it as well, and some fresh apricots. You stew them down, and sultanas. Yeah, in the oven. absolutely beautiful until golden brown. Yes, yes. And with it, you have either vanilla ice cream, or if you're really decadent, some clotted cream.
Mm. Well, I guess it's, say, with September, so it's coming into the autumn, and it's one of those kind of recipes. Like I said, you're getting colder, darker evenings. Mm. It's something
comfort,
maybe.
Comfort food.
Madeline, you mentioned about Mediterranean cookbooks and those from other parts of the world. How popular are these? Have they become more popular because of people going away on foreign holidays, do you think?
Well, I think that's got to be an influence, but there's an awful lot of cookery books lately from Syria and written by people who have left Syria and are thinking of home. So that's quite a big trend at the moment. So it's people remembering their own food culture. I've got a particular book out at the moment. It's actually just called Recipes from Syria. And each recipe has a story about the person who gave the recipe. And it's really quite a moving book as well, and shows you how important food is, especially when people have had to been forced to flee from where they would want to live. And it's quite a poignant book, but really good recipe book as well.
Yeah, I should think, as I said about people going on foreign holidays, but also you've got people moving, living in this country now from other countries. We've got quite a multinational, multicultural society these days. And with that, they will bring along their own recipes, which other people, even us from Britain, would probably be interested in.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. I mean, another favourite of mine is Fuchsia Dunlop, and she writes some brilliant Chinese cookery books. Absolutely fantastic. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, some of her recipes are just amazing. Yeah. So, yeah.
But you've only got to, I mean, today in Red Hill is market day. Mm. And you can, you walk out and you're hit by a wall of aromas of spices and curry and various foods. And, you know, it just shows that the way we are now, you know, because you know that we have so many diverse people living in this country, bringing in their recipes and their way of life, and people are buying this because it is such good food, you know, and that's on a market stall. So to think about what people's homes, you know, and what they're cooking in their homes, it can only illustrate that, you know, this is a big change in our way of life here in Britain. So you know, it's got to be good because we have to be trying it, you know, and tasting it and loving it. So yeah, it's good.
And once you've tasted it, you can borrow a book from the library and make the recipe yourself.
That's the intention. Yes.
And it's free. So that's Tina and Madeline from Red Hill Library talking about cookery books. And we'll be back with Tina and Madeline in just a moment to talk about children's books. Apparently the sale of books is now up because children are suffering from screen fatigue. And we'll hear from Tina and Madeline about that shortly here on Susie Radio.
Sussex and Surrey's 103.4.
Been in the news recently about the sale of books is rising, or it's risen by around 16%. This is because of children are getting screen fatigue. Have you noticed a difference over the holidays of maybe parents coming in with children and borrowing more books?
Yes, over the past 6 weeks, we've been running our regular summer reading initiative, and in that time, our books just race out off the shelves and out on into people's homes, and that's a fabulous thing. And in fact, it was so bad for us this year at Red Hill is that we've had hardly anything left on our shelves.
Oh.
And it's been a bit dodgy, to be perfectly honest. So because, you know, we need to be seen to having stock, you know, but the books have raced off, and it is partly due to our summer reading initiative that we have, and it's actually about to end because the children have gone back to school, and it's something we regularly do every year. So it's great for families and schools, and obviously for the children to take part in this. As a generalisation of children reading more tangible books, I would endorse this comment in the paper, because from my observation, I know there are members of staff, there is nothing quite like a book. Mm. You can sit in front of a screen forever and look and look and look and not really take anything in. But when you're holding a book, it's a very, very personal thing, and you just the book devours you, all right? There's a lovely book by Cornelia Funk, a children's book called Ink Heart. Mm-hmm. And it's basically that. It's where a little girl, she actually disappears into the story because she becomes so immersed. Now, you can't do that with a screen in front of you, whether it's a computer screen or perhaps a laptop or
one of the Kindles,
yeah. Yes, or an iPad. You just can't do it because you're too busy playing around with it, all right? Because you're going off into other directions the whole time. But when you hold a book, it's something very personal between you and the person who's written that on the page. Mm-hmm. And it's what I think is a reading relationship. And everyone gets something out of it. We can all read the same page, but we will all interpret it in a different way. And that's why our imaginations, and that's how they work. And this is what I think is happening with children. Because I think screens, they're great in their place. I can't knock them too much. But when it comes for developing reading, it's really important to have this personal relationship between the page in front of you and what you're reading and the author. And I think that's what it's about. And there's nothing nicer than actually holding a book and knowing that it's all this information's in this book and it's been written and it's personal. It's tactile. That's what I think is the magic of reading. And I think it's not just for children. I think it's for adults too. I mean, I have a Kindle, and when I go away on holiday, yes, I load it up with the books I want to read because it's convenient. But, I don't get the same feel at the end of the day. Yeah. It's just a convenience thing. So yes, I would endorse that. Yes, and I would like all children, all families, to make sure they have books in their homes, or even schools that they can loan out their books from schools to the homes. And that's what we're here for. We're here to actually fill up that void. Maybe there are families there who don't have that many books in their homes, all right? And that's what we're here for. We're here to actually help and aid with children's literacy and learning. And, we've got really good staff here. We have a fabulous selection of books in our libraries. They are up to date. So there's no excuse, really. All you need to do is join the library. And when you join the library, it's free. And it's free to take books out. And you can take up to 20 books out. And it's not just fiction storybooks we're talking about. It could be information, non-fiction books. There's a lot of boys out there. Boys are quite renowned for being reluctant readers, all right? But if you give them an information non-fiction book, perhaps a particular thing on storyline, on dinosaurs or football sport, or art or construction, it's in our libraries, it's there, and they are all updated. So as you go into the bookshops to choose a new book, you spend $6.99, $10.99 on one of those. You don't need to do that because you can come to your library and still read it, and it costs you nothing. So it's a fabulous thing to actually hold a book and enjoy, And if you really like it, like me, I mean, I might read a book from the library here, and I might fall in love with it. If that happens, I have to go out and buy it. But I read it from the library first, and then I go out and I buy it and I own it, and it's mine forever. It's a very personal thing, a passionate thing, and I am quite passionate about that. We always and constantly, even as I speak now, in our workroom, which we have here in Red Hill Library, we have had, I think, 4 or 5 boxes of new books, brand new books. They arrived on a daily basis. All right. We're lucky. We're a band A library, so we get really good stock selection. All right. We get new books every day. Every day. And we try and get them down on the shelves, obviously, as soon as we possibly can. And at the moment, we do need that because, our stock downstairs isn't all that as what it should be because of the summer reading scheme. But the books are coming back now because the children are back at school.
David Williams has written books to inspire young readers, and he's got quite a few now, I do believe. Do you have any of these in the children's library?
The most popular is probably The World's Worst Children. There's The World's Worst Children 1, which went out, flew out the doors, and then he's written a second book, World's Words, Worst Children 2. Yeah, very, very popular, David Walliams, because he's quite a funny man. Do you know what would be really nice? If he wrote something for grown-ups and see what how he would... his take on that would be. So it would be really interesting to see if... I'm sure he can do it, but that would be a really, really good thing to see how he would have progressed on writing for adults. J.K. Rowling's done it, obviously. So, yeah, but he is good. He's... a lot of people have put him in the category of he's stepping into Roald Dahl's shoes. And, yeah, maybe he is. He's maybe the new Roald Dahl, I don't know. But a lot of people regard him as such. Another author that, you know, is brilliant for boys is Geoff Kinney, the Wimpy Kid books. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a fabulous read for all, particularly boys who can be reluctant. Girls love the princess books, so you've got your Daisy Meadows and all the fairy sort of tale books. So that's another one. Cornelia Funk's a particular favourite of mine. I spoke about her earlier. She's very, very good. Obviously, you've got your Jacqueline Wilson, mm-hmm. Very popular with girls still. And she's a prolific writer. She writes about issues, you know, people, family issues, yep. Problems, things like that. Kathy Cassidy is another one, always going out on our shelves. And, of course, there is J.K. Rowling. And even though J.K. has stopped writing about Harry Potter, it doesn't make any difference. They're out all the time. And the wonderful thing about that is that even grown-up can read it, you know, it's for everybody. So I think we have a vast selection of books for young people downstairs.
So there's so many authors, probably too many to mention, but old favourites like Enid Blyton, do those books still go out?
Enid Blyton, yes. In her books, I mean, she wrote in the region of maybe 600-700 books, believe it or not. I mean, ranging from Noddy, who in his little yellow car,
yes,
right up to Mallory Towers, Secret Seven, you know, and even today, throughout the summer holidays, we have had hardly any Enid Blyton on our shelves, and we have a considerable amount of her books. She's very, very popular. Another old one is Beatrix Potter.
Right.
And even her books are very, very popular. So, you know, that takes you back. And they're written in a language, in a Victorian language, but it doesn't make any difference that people still want to read them, you know, and hold them, because, you know, it's special.
It definitely is. My son has a huge bookshelf, a bookcase full of books, and we do downstairs in our lounge as well. That was Tina and Madeline from Red Hill Library with the Susie Book Club. And they'll be back next month where we'll be talking about thrillers. Spooky novels, of course, with it coming up to Halloween in October. This is Susie Radio.